Hello and welcome to yet another We're Not Experts History podcast. Not anyone's listening. My name's James and with me is usually Sarah. Hello, Sarah.
What? Hello. Why do you always say that? If anyone's listening or no one's listening, you don't know that no one's listening.
They won't do. They won't do. Anyway, last time you took charge of the podcast, you were talking about how we put excrement. Turds, yeah. Poo. I'm assuming it'll be something lighter, funnier, more family friendly today.
No, I'm still going to be talking about excrement, but a different type of excrement this time.
That makes it so much better.
Yeah. So imagine you step outside your front door and you're literally waist deep in horse excrement. Can you imagine that?
I don't want to imagine that.
Well, imagine that. And yes, I know it sounds ridiculous, but in 1894, Londoners were facing just that. Yeah, I'm not even making this up. The Great Stink, this isn't something I've invented just for fun. This actually happened. At the end of the 19th century, the great cities of the world. So it wasn't just London that was affected. I'm going to be focusing on London for the purposes of this podcast because we're in England. But this actually was affecting Paris, New York, all the big cities had this problem. Horses, or to be more precise, what the horses were producing. You have to remember that this is before cars, before engines. And instead of cars and engines, you've got a completely different type of horsepower. You have got actual live horses, hundreds of thousands of them, pulling the omnibuses, pulling carts, carriages, taking care of the deliveries. Well, no, the horses wouldn't be taking care of the deliveries. They would be pulling the cart with the delivery on it, but anyway, but they were the engines of the modern city. So what was then a modern city, horses were kind of the backbone of the city. I've said city too many times, but unfortunately they were also highly efficient at producing something a little bit less desirable, manure. And by 1894, London's horses, so as I said, I'll be focusing mainly on London, London's horses were producing so much waste that it seemed that the city was in danger of being buried beneath it. And one prediction actually suggested that within 50 years, the streets would be 9 feet deep in poo because of the rate it was going. So,
that person just assume they were going to leave it.
Well, I'll talk about it more, but that was kind of what was happening. Because there was just too much of it to keep up. But yes, not an appealing prospect. You've got public health officials panicking, you've got the urban planners despairing, you know, there's just horse poo everywhere. And it was actually known as the horse manure crisis of 1894. And yes, it sounds funny when you think about it now, it's laughable, but it wasn't then. It was awful. You know, you've got flies and disease spreading and an awful smell. I mean, horse poo smells a heck of a lot nicer than human or dog poo, I have to say. Honestly, it does. But when there's so much of it, it's going to be overpowering. It's still an overpowering stench. It's just not as offensive as horse or... It's all in the diet. You've got to think horses are living on grain and hay, whereas humans and dogs are, in all likelihood, eating meat and all sorts of other things, so it's going to smell worse. But horse manure crisis. And but as history often does, the problem found an unexpected solution, and not through shoveling, but through a brand new invention with an engine of its own. But we'll come to that. Oh, and but I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. It's quite obvious. Anyway.
Can I just, I'll just say, oh, no idea, and leave it there. And I'll get surprised.
Yes, actually. Yeah, let's do that.
I'll see if I can do that.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. So we go to London before the pile-up, as it were. So London, sort of late 1800s, 1880s, 1890s, we're in the Industrial Revolution, which we've also done 3 podcasts about, if you want to go and look those up on the website. They are very good, if I may say so myself. But, yeah, so we're mid-Industrial Revolution, or we're well into the Industrial Revolution, so the city is absolutely booming. What did you say?
All right, I think it's one of the biggest. I'll say this is well after the middle part of the. The country's benefited massively from it.
And I think we're well into it. Yeah.
City on the planet at the time. Yeah.
Yes, it would be. And
that part of the empire.
Yeah. So the city is absolutely booming. It's very crowded. It's noisy. It's full of life. Not much different from today. But instead of the rumble of car engines and. What they called?
Buses.
Car horns.
Trains.
No, car horns. I'm thinking of sounds.
Oh, okay.
You're hearing the clip clopping of thousands of horses, and they're pulling the cabs and the carts and the omnibuses. Like I said before, horse-drawn transport was the lifeblood of the city. All your deliveries, your coal, your bread, all the goods, anything you can think of that would keep the businesses running. It was horses that were bringing those goods to the door, and they were carrying Londoners to work, to the shops, to any social events. So they were the transport. But with all these horses, there came a problem, which nobody could ignore, and it was poo. Lots of poop, and. Each horse.
That makes quite a good tagline for our podcast.
What's that?
Lots and lots and lots of poop.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that pretty much sums up this whole podcast, to be honest. But each horse produces or was producing. I mean, horses still do produce a hell of a lot of poo. But your average horse can produce 15 to 35 pounds of manure a day, as well as 2 pints of urine.
And, amateur.
Well, I've had horses in the past, so I've been a horse owner. So I have cleaned up after a horse, multiple horses, and it is a lot. It is a lot of poo that you are cleaning up daily, and that's just one horse. So I'm just using one horse as an example. Imagine 300...
than that at work. Huh?
Say that again?
Pardon? I deal with a lot more poo than that at work.
Yeah, but we're talking about a different sort of poo, aren't we? But anyway, you just interrupted what I was saying. One horse produces that much poo, and we times that by 300,000 in London alone. That is a lot of poo.
Let's do that, shall we?
Yeah.
Times, say, 35 pounds, that is 10.5 million pounds of turds a day.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot. And the thing is, with a horse poo, you can't just scoop it up in a pooper scooper. You know, it takes effort to shovel up a big pile of horse poo. And trust me, I know this from example. I'm not just making that up. It's not surprising that the streets were covered in the stuff, absolutely covered, and because nobody could keep up with the constant output. So every time you walked down the main road, you were risking your boots and your nose. The piles of poo, they would be left for hours, attracting the flies, and then if it rained, you've got like a poo soup, essentially. So the streets absolutely stunk. Maybe not on the level of the Great Stink of 1858, because as I said earlier, in my opinion, horse poo is a lot less offensive smelling compared to human waste. But when there's that much of it, it is pretty intense. It's pretty eye-watering. So just to say, there's we go for a walk. There's a place we walk quite frequently. It's the marshes near where we live. And there's a certain part of the walk where I think, because there's stables on the other side of the path, and I think it's where they have their muck heap. And when you past that little section, and I'm not really offended by the smell of horse poo, because like I said, I've had horses. You know, I don't, it doesn't bother me, the smell of horse, but that is insanely strong. Like when you walk past that bit, it is pretty intense, and it's kind of like, oh, you know, you have to sort of mouth breathe while you're walking that bit because it's quite strong. So the whole city would have smelled like this, and it probably would have been a lot worse, because at least that muck heap, I imagine, gets frequently taken care of. Whereas this would have just been left, because, and not out of laziness, but out of just not being able to keep up with the demand. It's constant. It's constantly happening.
If you're a cabbie and your horse is crapping while you're working, you're not going to stop every time it drops one to pick it up. You've got a fare to it on board, or you've got an earning to keep.
Exactly. And it's just not practical. I mean, when I've had horses and I've been riding out on the road and my horse has a dump, nothing I can do about it. I can't. What am I going to do? Carry it home? You just have to leave. So I absolutely appreciate that they couldn't be cleaning up on the go, because it's just not practical. It's not like scooping up a dog turd. It's a great big mound of poo. But anyway, so that's where we're at. Obviously as well, London, it's not just smelly, it's very crowded. So this makes it worse, trying to dodge the poo, because it's...
The Victorian area, you mean, not now, just to confirm.
Yeah. I mean, London's still crowded, but hopefully it's not full of horse poo. I don't know. I haven't been to London for a while, but I'm assuming it's not full of horse poo.
No.
So the streets are very narrow. They're very jammed. You've got horses, carts, pedestrians, the shops and the markets. They would spill into the streets. You've got all the chimney smoke hanging heavy over the city. I'm just trying to kind of build a visual image of what London was like before this all kicked off, you know, just to kind of set the scene, as it were.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the injunction from the London Tourist Board to stop this going out.
Yeah. Don't worry, everyone. London's has changed massively since this, I hope. But
just you wasting the street now.
Yeah. But to make matters worse, the average life expectancy for a working horse in London was around 3 years, which isn't a lot really, considering how long horses live now. Which led to the issue of having to dispose of the carcasses, because horses aren't easy things to get rid of when they pass. You know, it requires, well, even nowadays it requires a crane of some sort or some kind of heavy forklift or something to move a dead horse. You can't just scoop them up. And what they did often do, and this is grim, and I apologize for this, but I'm just stating a fact, they would often leave the carcass to rot, because it would be easier to cut it up and get rid of it. When it was fresh, it was difficult, so they'd let it rot down and then they'd just break it up. And so so you've got mounds and mounds of horse poo. Say that again.
Yeah. There is the trick there, because they could have had a big barbecue.
Yeah, but there would have been a lot of barbecues going on, because the horses are dropping dead left, right, and centre by the sounds of it. They're not living for that long. Yeah, well, but I'm sure they had a few barbecues, but yeah, they're probably just too many to keep up with. So, as well as obviously all the poo, you've got the dead horses dotted around. And ironically, removing the waste and removing the dead horses would require more horses to, because they didn't have any other ways to move these things, which would result in more waste and more dead horses. So it was a vicious cycle, really. And it was really only a matter of time before the city would face what newspapers would call the Great Horse Manure Crisis of 1894. So I hope I've built up a good picture. I hope I've built up a good picture of what London was like in the build-up to this event.
You did. Thank you very much, and thank you for listening. Is that it?
No, we haven't even got there yet. Anyway. So by 1894, the problem could not be ignored. The street cleaners and the private cart companies that had been employed to try and take care of the problem or keep on top of the problem, they just could not keep up. And the manure is just piling up on the busy roads, in the marketplaces, in the alleyways. Pedestrians are trying to dodge it. Carriages are getting stuck in it. And the smell is just everywhere. The flies are having a great time. There's flies everywhere. Also as well, as horse poo breaks down, it dries out and it turns into like a powder. And that was blowing around and blowing into people's houses. Lovely. And they were breathing it in. And yeah, not nice.
So it was being washed into the water system as well.
Yeah, of course, because it would have been running down the drains when it rained. And I mean, obviously we have a better sewage system by this point, but it's still going to put a lot of strain on the system. And it was at this moment that London officially hit crisis level, because what had once been a bit of an inconvenience, you know, a bit of poo here and there, it was a daily hazard. And some parts of the city just looked like miniature mountains, just mountains and mountains of horse poo. And the Londoners realised that if they didn't do something soon, the city might just be literally up to its knees in horse poo. So, yeah, not a good situation to be in. Bit of a smelly situation.
Yet another problem to deal with.
Mm-hmm. So there were a few desperate measures and daring ideas, and Londoners tried everything they could think of to tackle this crisis. Some ideas were quite clever and some were just absolutely bizarre, and you're just, you know, what are they thinking? So the first and most obvious solution was to engage street sweepers to just haul it away, get rid of it on manure carts. But with so many horses producing so much waste, they were just absolutely overwhelmed. It's like if you were in a sinking boat and you were trying to bail it out with a teaspoon. It's kind of like that. You're not going to get anywhere. Some more inventive minds, they suggested collecting the manure to sell as fertilizer. And yes, it's very environmentally friendly to think about doing this. But in practice, it's quite hard to convince people to handle the stuff without gagging. And although farmers were initially happy to pay good money for manure, by the end of the 1800s, the cities were having to pay people to take it away because there was just too much of it. I mean, even now, you see a lot of stables will have signs outside that saying free horse manure. I've never known a stable yard that will sell horse manure because they'll rather just give it away because it saves them having to pay to get rid of it. Yeah. So why would these farmers pay for manure? That they would, you'd have to pay them to take it away from you. So another suggestion in the newspapers, I don't know what bright spark came up with this, but that the manure was to be rationed so that horses were only allowed to produce a certain amount of manure a day. Problem solved. Unfortunately, the horses did not cooperate with this.
Probably, I imagine their union would have got involved.
Exactly, and they were like, "No, not ever. Yeah. I need to poo." So yeah, that didn't work.
Very much the same at work with myself.
Mm-hmm. So that didn't work. In some areas, they just left the dung just to pile up, and they had designated spots, like a muck heap, I guess. Which wasn't really a solution, particularly as children and adventurous pets. They found these dung mountains quite irresistible for climbing. So it's not like when your dog comes back from a walk and it's rolled in something smelly. Your kids are coming back from playing in the street and they've rolled in something smelly.
Have we all been there?
Yeah. I have climbed a dung heap, but that was purely because I was mucking out a stable at the time. So it was out of necessity. It wasn't out of fun. I've also lost my mobile phone in a muck heap, and I've had to find it again. And it still worked when I did find it, which was quite good. But anyway, that happened. I'm sure the Victorians had the same problems dropping their mobiles into the dung.
Definitely.
Yeah, so. But engineers proposed that the streets be paved, which would make cleaning easier. And that does make a lot of sense. And this did help eventually, but at the time it was just a very slow and expensive solution. And ultimately, you still got the poo piling up and piling up and piling up. And then you've got your more forward-thinking people realising that this newfangled motor car, which had kind of just started to arrive on the scene, might actually save London from this manure nightmare. And it did take a while, but eventually, these horseless carriages, as they were called, they did make a huge difference. So despite all the chaos and the smell, the Londoners did keep their sense of humour about this crisis. The newspapers ran jokes. I'm sure the city dwellers would have been sharing stories of how they had narrowly avoided stepping into the latest pile. You know, like, oh, God, do you see that out there? I've nearly trod in that. And, you know, you can just imagine the conversations. So it was a very messy, smelly and challenging time. But it also made the city realise just how dependent they were on these four-legged commuters, i.e. the horses.
Yeah. So, obviously we look back at it now, and it's the obvious answer. But then when the combustion engine wasn't a brand spanking new invention by this time, but there was more and more of them. In the form of motor cars.
Yes.
So, yeah, and then people get to see that this is the way forward.
Yes. So we go on to hooves versus horsepower, if you like, the great swap. And by the late 1800s and the early 1900s, inventors are experimenting with these horseless carriages. And these were vehicles that were powered by steam, electricity. So they had electric cars back then. Or petrol. So they had the right idea. Now, at first, these early cars, they were very slow, very expensive and very rare. Really only owned by sort of wealthy enthusiasts. They weren't your everyday commodity. And it's really funny because I often say to my husband, it's so funny that, and he's like, shut up. Because I've said it so many times. I say it's so funny. In Victorian times, everybody had a horse, nobody had a car. And nowadays, almost everybody has a car and nobody has a horse unless you're rich. Horses are kind of a rich person's game, which is why I don't have horses anymore, because they're so expensive. But it's funny how these things kind of completely reverse roles. If you said to a Victorian back then, you know, jump forward 150 years and almost everybody will have the ability to own a car. I'm not going to say everybody owns a car because some people don't have cars. But they're a lot more common now. It's more common to have a car than not have a car in this country. Whereas back then, it was very rare that it was kind of like a novelty to have a car. It was a rich person's game, and now it's the horses are a rich person's game, and a car is just your average Joe has a car. But anyway, but then we have the Motor Car Act. Sorry, I'm going back to Victorian times now. Well, actually, this is kind of not technically, this is just after Victorian times, but 1903, we have the Motor Car Act, and this encouraged the registration and regulation of motor vehicles. And suddenly more people could own cars and motor buses, and delivery vehicles began to appear on the London streets. So alongside the horses, you've also got actual engines. And unlike the horses, these motor vehicles, they didn't produce piles of poo, they didn't attract flies, and they didn't need to be stabled and fed, because that was another thing. Poo aside, you got a horse, it's a living, breathing thing. You know, you can't just chuck it in a garage or on your drive. It has to be fed, it has to be watered, it has to be stabled. It needs, if it becomes unwell, it needs some kind of intervention, you know? It's a living, breathing thing. So cars were just a lot less trouble, to be quite honest. And initially, many Londoners were very suspicious of these noisy, smelly new contraptions. Just like when the omnibus first made an appearance in the 1800s, people were very wary of them. They didn't trust them, because I think it wasn't the omnibus itself. It's that, and it's also, I think they found the whole system a bit confusing. A bit like when you're not used to getting on a train and you get a train timetable and you're like, I don't know what this means. I don't know where I'm going to end up. I don't know what it's going to cost me. I think it's a bit like that, or it was a bit like that.
Too much. Late.
Sorry?
The answers to your questions, it will cost too much. It will turn up late. Mm-hmm. It depends where you're going as well.
Yeah. So, but gradually, as more and more vehicles appeared on the roads, the idea of dodging manure seemed far less appealing than dodging the occasional motor bus. And by the 1910s, the motor car was becoming increasingly common. The streets were still very busy. You've got cars and horses, but you've got less horses now because you've got cars doing more work. And the amount of horse waste began to shrink as more and more people made the switch from horses to cars. So it was just kind of a natural process, really, that and like you say, nowadays, you don't, unless you've got someone out for a leisurely hack on their horse, you don't really see horses on the roads. You see cars and buses and things, and the odd bike, if there's no bike path. But yeah, so that was kind of the solution, if you like. It wasn't obviously an overnight solution. It took time, but slowly, slowly, things were improving. And by the early 20th century, London began to breathe a sigh of relief, because slowly but surely the horse manure crisis, it started to fade as more and more horses were replaced by these horseless carriages. And
yeah, I wonder how much of an effect the First World War had on this as well. So obviously a lot of horses were commandeered for the war.
Of course they were, yeah. That's actually a topic that I would quite like to cover at some stage, even though it'd be quite depressing, but I also find it quite fascinating. But yes, you're right. When many horses were commandeered for the First World War.
Oh, yeah.
And most of them didn't come back, which is very sad. Nope. But Yeah, so that would have had an impact. But prior to that, just the fact that people are switching out horse power for car power.
Horsepower.
But yeah, a different type of horsepower, that's right.
Yeah.
On top of this, the city's also invested in better street cleaning, wider roads, and eventually proper sewage systems, which, you know, that's been an ongoing project since the Great Stink, which we've also done a podcast on. So the manure mountains, they began to disappear and were replaced by smoother pavements and asphalt roads, and Londoners could finally walk to work without tackling a daily obstacle course made up of horse turds. But of course the memories lingered, and newspapers occasionally joked about the glorious days when Londoners had to dodge horse poo like it was a sport. And historians today, like us, we still marvel at the sheer scale of the problem. But the crisis did teach the city a very important lesson. Even the most ordinary daily routines, i.e. the transporting of people and goods, it can spiral into a full-blown disaster if left unchecked. And London survived, slightly cleaner and slightly wiser. Obviously now, it's kind of gone full circle, because now we've got pollution because of the cars, and now we're kind of looking at another way. We're looking at going electric. And eventually, we're kind of in that middle ground at the moment where there's electric cars are still quite unobtainable for most people. Whereas, you know, give it maybe, I don't know how long it will be, but at some stage we'll be looking back going, oh, do you remember we used to drive petrol cars? Can you imagine that? I mean, even diesel cars now, I don't know about if it's the same for all car companies, but most car companies don't manufacture diesel cars anymore. Diesel is being phased out. So that's a bummer. And
not necessarily.
Well, no, because you know why? Because I had to get rid of the Landy because of the whole diesel nonsense. But anyway, but yeah, so we've gone from diesel to petrol to gradually we're going now more towards electric, and yeah, we'll be looking back at some stage going, oh, I can't believe we used to have to put petrol in. Do you remember you used to have to put petrol in the car? Like, now you just kind of plug it in. But yeah, so these things go full circle, but that was the manure crisis of 1894, which again, it sounds like some kind of joke that I've made up, but it really happened. And it was really a big deal, and they got through it, and it kind of pushed the whole car thing, really. Because can you imagine if horses didn't poo as much as they did, we might even still be, you know, that would be really cool, actually, if that was the case. But, you know, the whole cars might not have taken off as they did, and we might still be riding around on horses and carriages and stuff, which would be very cool. But in my opinion, I love horses.
They're not pooing as much. They're exploding because they're holding it in.
Yeah, probably. That would be good. That would be very messy. But anyway, that's that. That is transmission over. That was the 1894 horse manure crisis. So I hope you enjoyed that.
I think the next one you can do is the Great Smog in the 1950s.
Oh, that would be good.
Partly,
yeah.
A little bit of the motor cars, but people were still burning fires then, so that
yes,
was...
Yes, they were. Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
The old pea soupers. Anyway, they called them... Yeah, they were called them pea soupers then, didn't they?
Yeah, they were so bad. Anyway, let's not go into this now.
Yes, let's not. Let's we'll save it for another
let's
one.
Start the next episode now.
Yeah. But I need to go and do the research first, so that's not going to work. But anyway,
I need to wake up.
Yeah, so me chatting on probably won't work, will it? You'll probably fall asleep. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Anyway, thank you for listening. Please remember, we really, really aren't experts at all. I mean, we've just spent two episodes talking about poo. That's not an expertise, not what I want anyway.
I'm sure people have worked that out, that we're not experts. I think that's quite apparent.
Yeah, I mean, the chances are there is something we are expert at, but that means that we won't be allowed to talk about it.
No. Well.
Right. Thank you for listening. Bearing in mind, whatever platform you're listening to, if you'd like to leave us a nice comment, please do. If you rate us, however you do it, I don't know. And you will also find a link to our website where you can find the booklets related to each of these stories that you can download, print, and burn at your leisure. Thank you.